morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning. We'll begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, as we gather together today in your presence, grant that we might humbly confess our sins and rejoice in your grace. Open our hearts to hear the message from your word, and move us then to apply that message to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Our first hymn for today is hymn 825. Follow along with our order of service today as it's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Therefore, together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and gives them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may always be defended by your mighty power. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for this morning is Psalm 103. We'll read that psalm responsively, and we'll read selected verses beginning on page 4 in your bulletin. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your iniquity, who redeems your life from the pit, who satisfies you with good. The Lord works righteousness. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He will not always chide. He does not deal with us according to our sins. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, as a father shows compassion on his children, bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading for this morning is from Mark chapter 1. We'll read verses 29 through 34. Glory to you, O Lord. These verses come immediately before our sermon text for today. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. This is the word of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.
Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Nicene Creed on page 6. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 551.
Thank you.
rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who heals our bodies and our souls, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is again taken from Mark chapter 1. We'll read verses 35 through 39. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he, that is Jesus, went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Nearly every business and every organization has what you would call a mission statement. A mission statement is usually a summary of the main purpose for which that organization exists, or a summary of the goals and standards that particular organization or business wants to meet. Most companies and organizations will post this mission statement somewhere where it's very visible, maybe where their employees or customers or both can see it. They can always remember then what the purpose of their company is. And for their customers, they can assure them, this is what we plan or hope to do for you. For some reason or another, I always notice the mission statement in a particular business that I've had to go to a number of times in my life, and that is at the auto repair shops where I've taken various vehicles throughout my life. And every time I notice the mission statement on the wall, I kind of chuckle to myself a little bit, because auto repair shops kind of have a little bit of a reputation for, shall we say, coming up a bit short in the areas of customer service, honest workmanship, and fair prices. I remember one particular service center quoting me about double what the place I checked after that quoted me. And I thought their mission statement, they're holding to their mission statement very well at all. I'm not sure why it is I notice them at the car repair shops, but it makes me think about the mission statement of the church. Do we have a mission statement? And are we holding up to it? Well, the church does have a mission statement, and it was given to the church by Jesus himself. In fact, Jesus himself had a mission statement when he came to this earth. In a number of places throughout the New Testament, you will hear Jesus' mission statement summarized in different ways. Our text for today is one of those places where one of his mission statements is spoken. In this final sermon in our Epiphany series on Jesus revealed, we will see today Jesus revealed by his mission. After all, when you think about it, Jesus' mission, what he came to this earth to do, is just as important as knowing who he is. Many people might know that Jesus was a historical figure. They might admit that he lived at one point on this earth. But do they really know who he is? Do they know that he is their Lord and their Savior? In the same way that it's necessary to know that Jesus was more than just a good man or a great teacher, or even to know that he is a God, it's also necessary to know Jesus' mission, his main mission, in coming to this earth. It wasn't just to physically heal people. It wasn't just to perform miracles. He didn't come to this earth to lead a political or social revolution. He didn't just come to this earth to show people how to love each other and lead a good life by his perfect example either. In our text, then, we hear Jesus give and state his mission statement. And then we see him act and speak to accomplish that mission. All of the miracles, all of the healings, all the teachings of Jesus, all these acts of love were not an end to themselves. They were actually done to help accomplish his mission. In verse 38 of our text, Jesus says, "For this purpose I have come forth." What purpose was that? We're told earlier in that verse it was to preach. Not just to preach in general. But in Matthew's account of this incident, we are told he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It means Jesus was preaching the good news. That's what gospel means. The good news about himself. What he'd come to do. That he came to live a perfect life on this earth for us. That he would eventually be that innocent, perfect sacrifice for our sins on the cross. There were other places in Jesus' ministry where he stated that this was his mission. Here are a few of them. From John chapter 18, he says, "For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Mark 10:45, Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." John 10:38, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." As true God, of course, Jesus' mission was the same as God the Father's mission. And as true man, Jesus himself prayed to God the Father often. And he did so as we read in our text. Jesus sought his Father's will and was devoted to his mission. Jesus himself would say in John's Gospel, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So we should ask then, how does God the Father summarize his mission statement? The Bible tells us this, that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That was and is God's mission. From eternity, he planned and made it his mission to save mankind through his Son Jesus. He even knew in advance that this creation that he had made would eventually sin against him, that his perfect creation would be ruined. And he had planned to send his Son Jesus to restore it. And that was the reason for Jesus' epiphany, the reason he was revealed or appeared as the Son of God on this earth. The Apostle John tells us, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested," or revealed, "that he might destroy the works of the devil." Isn't that exactly what we see Jesus doing in our text? Destroying the works of the devil. By preaching the gospel of peace, of forgiveness, of life, against Satan and his forces, against death, against hell itself, and preaching in the synagogues throughout all Galilee, and then, as our text says, defeating Satan literally by casting out demons. Now, the fact that Jesus was completely and fully devoted to his mission doesn't prove that Jesus was true God, God's Son. But the fact that he accomplished his mission exactly and completely as God the Father intended, that shows and proves that he was who he said he was, true God, God's Son. And so Jesus crushed Satan and defeated him once and for all, destroyed the power of sin and death, and even underwent the punishment of hell itself for us on that dark Good Friday on Calvary's cross. Then defeated death itself by victoriously rising from the dead on the third day. So Jesus' statement, we could say, his mission statement now, we could say, is a mission accomplished. But he is still doing his saving work. He's doing more saving work because there are more souls to be saved. Now let's be clear, and don't get me wrong, his blood and his righteousness are complete. They are enough. Complete and total enough to cover all the sins and make the full payment for the full salvation of every man, woman, and child who's ever been born into this world. His mission of salvation has been accomplished. But not all have seen and heard. Not all have believed. And so in that sense, there is still more saving work to do. There are still more souls to save. And Jesus' mission statement then he gives to us. He gives that mission to us Christians. He's given us his powerful saving word to preach, to spread the good news, to drive out Satan and his forces, and has given each one of us, individual Christians, and collectively as a congregation, a mission statement. This is how he puts it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How have we been doing at keeping that mission statement Christ has given to us? How have you been doing? How have I been doing? How much have we been devoted to this mission statement? How much have we devoted ourselves? Completely? Mostly? Some? Very little? Or maybe none at all? Too often don't we have to admit, both individually and collectively, that we are all too often like that bad car repair shop. We've got the mission statement. We have it printed for us in many places. We look at it many times, and yet we don't live up to it. Do we do a poor job of fulfilling, or even trying to fulfill, the mission statement that Jesus has given us? I remember working across from a young man on an assembly line, putting together cabinets one summer back in Michigan. I found out very early on in that summer that this young man was an atheist. And he found out very early from me that summer that I was a Christian, and I was training at school to be a pastor. And one day early on in my job there that summer, he asked me, "You're a Christian, right?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, aren't you supposed to be trying to recruit me?" Well, I took that as an open door, and needless to say, the rest of the summer, I spent a lot of time recruiting him in different conversations and telling him more and more about the Scriptures. I leave to the Holy Spirit what happened to that young man and what the words that I spoke to him that summer did for him. But the way he put that struck me, and the answer is yes. Yes, we are supposed to be recruiting others by sharing the good news of forgiveness and salvation in Jesus. He wants to see us and many others with us, with him, eternally in heaven. He completely devoted himself to that purpose, to that mission, to the point where he came to this earth to be one of us. Imagine leaving the comfort, the splendor, and glory of heaven as God himself, and coming to be one of us in this place. And then giving up his life on a horrible, terrible instrument used to torture people for our sins. Giving up his life on the cross to accomplish that great mission. Are we completely devoted to that mission as well? The mission that Jesus has given to each one of us to spread that news of salvation to others. Like Jesus did in our text, we can set aside time in our day to pray to our Heavenly Father. To pray like Jesus did, "Thy will be done," and that his mission of saving souls would be accomplished among us and around the globe. Like Jesus, we can preach the gospel of the kingdom of God to the many souls that are dying and in need of hearing that good news. Now, we may not be going from town to town. We might not even be able to go from town to town like Jesus did, preaching and healing all the people who come to us. But we all have people in our lives, maybe even friends and family, who need to hear or be reminded of Jesus' love and need to see that love of Jesus reflected in our lives. That means we back up our words of love with compassionate actions of love, just like Jesus, who didn't just preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, then go home and take a nap or go to the inn and sleep for the rest of the night. No, our text tells us that he was up well into the night, healing people of all kinds of diseases, casting out demons. At the very least, each one of us not only can pray, but we can also give our offerings to support those who are carrying out Christ's mission, whether it's locally or around the globe. Telling of God's saving love in Christ and then showing that love to them in our lives, that is our mission. Where will we find the motivation then to carry out that mission in our lives? Well, by reading from our mission statement every day. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Let us join in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, help us. Prepare us on our mission. Give us the words to speak, your words, and give us the strength, your strength, to carry it out. In Jesus' saving name we pray. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen.
You may be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Please rise. Are there any prayer requests today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. We thank and praise you, O Father, for the coming of your Son, Jesus, and for the promise in him that life is now and that life which is to come. Make us always mindful of your desire to save all people by faith alone in Christ, and make us devoted to the mission of sharing that message with others. Open our eyes to the vast numbers of people who are in need of that message of Christ crucified, then open our hearts and mouths to tell of your grace in our Lord Jesus. In the interest of your kingdom, O God, enlighten our minds that we may know your will and walk in your ways. Lead us into all truth, and give to us a greater love for all people. Give us a stronger confidence in the power of your word, a deeper trust in your merciful care, and a more perfect love of your Son. We pray also for all our homes and families, that you may make each household holy by your presence. Give them the Spirit of Christ, that the children may grow in the knowledge of their Savior. Grant that parents may, by their love and example, maintain their homes in peace and godliness. Grant that both children and parents may delight to be in your house and in the service of their Lord. Comfort and bless those who are afflicted among us, that they may in love perceive your good and gracious will and find release and healing from all their trials and sicknesses. Preserve and maintain for all people good government and honest citizenship. Keep us and all your people, Heavenly Father, in the unity of faith and in the oneness with Christ throughout your church. We ask these things in his saving name. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 856. Rise. We continue on the top of page 5 with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, There he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We give you thanks, O Lord our God, for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. In his name we pray, as we now join in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'll continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. Amen.
O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, have mercy on us, Lord, we pray. O Jesus Christ, true take the sin of the world away. Have mercy on us, Jesus Christ, and grant us peace, O Lord, we pray.
You may be seated. This time we respectfully ask those who are communicant members of St. Stephen Congregation or of a sister congregation in the Church of the Lutheran Confession to come forward to receive the Lord's Supper at the direction of our ushers.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Please rise. Let's join now in singing the Nunc Dimittis on the middle of page 10.
O Lord, now let your servant depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace. A light to lead the Gentiles unto your holy hill, the glory of your people, your chosen Israel. All glory to the Father, all glory to the Son, all glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning is now, shall ever be, God's triune name resounding through all eternity.
Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn 846. Savior Jesus, and to our guests and visitors, on behalf of our congregation, we welcome you and invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. Some announcements for this week. Tuesday, we'll be having our 50th anniversary committee meeting that will be held at the Harillo residence at 7 p.m. Wednesday, I have catechism at 7 p.m. over Skype. Thursday, there will be choir practice here. Kristen, our choir director, has been sick recently, so we're going to hopefully have it this Thursday for the first time for our Lent and Easter songs that we're practicing. So Thursday, 6:30 here at church. And Friday, we'll be having a Board of Education meeting at the Teacherage, which is now the Littles residence. That's going to be at 7 p.m. this Friday. The next Sunday, reminder, there is no Bible class because of the Southern California worship service next Sunday evening at 6:30. So worship service will be at 10 a.m., and our East Bay service will be at 1 p.m. In your mailbox, there is a financial report for the months of December and January. Please take that and look at it if you have not already. Also, a reminder coming up very soon, in just a week and a half, is Ash Wednesday and the beginning of Lent. That lands on Valentine's Day this year, on February 14th. We'll be having a worship service here at 7 p.m. that evening. A couple of announcements that didn't make it into the bulletin. A reminder to check the church directory in the back table. Make any corrections or changes that are needed to be made. And we hope to get that finished up soon. There'll be more announcements in the next couple of weeks as well. Also, if you would please give your opinion on some of the church lighting chandeliers in the on the sheet in the back table to the left of the church directory. Write down some thoughts there and look at the sheets if you would please. Any other announcements or additions to the announcements this morning? Chris?
Yeah, your 2017 contribution reports are in your mailbox.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Rebecca?
One of our sister churches in South Carolina has begun a project. One of the members there is going to be going on the next Mission Helper trip to Africa, and she's hoping to bring 6,000 beaded cross necklaces with her. And so she's kind of put out the word that to different CLC churches, and I committed us to making 300. So I would think a lot of them will be done by the students. But if there's any one that would like to help out making them, maybe we could schedule a day where we stay after church for a little bit. If anybody would like to contribute to the project, maybe if you have some beads lying around, I can show you the beads that we're using, or throw in, a little bit of money so you can purchase them. Just talk to me or Kirsten.
Okay, thank you. Any other announcements for this morning? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.